Everyone for attending. We're going to talk about reproducible and immutable OS images with Nix, like building, reproducibly building OS images for immutable systems with Nix OS. So first, a little introduction of mine. My name is Moritz, Moritz Sanft. I'm a security software engineer at Edgeless Systems. Broadly as a company, we work on confidential computing. I personally work mostly on virtualization, cloud stuff. I use Nix at home and at work for software builds at work mostly, but also to manage a fleet of devices mostly at home, and also of course Nix OS for image builds all the time. So agenda for today, I'm first going to motivate the topic a little bit. Why are reproducible builds of OS images important? Why are immutable systems great, especially from a security standpoint? We're going to talk about how to actually build OS images reproducibly, shed some light on mCozy and Nix OS, which in my opinion are the two best tools for that. We're then going to introduce a little general framework for how to have a integrity protected boot chain for immutable systems, from which we can then bootstrap trust into the rest of our system. And then at the core of the talk, we're going to shed some light on the integrations NixOS recently has gotten with SystemDB part, UKIs, DMVerity, which are three core parts of building such images. Yeah, so to motivate the topic a little, what are the benefits of immutable systems even? I think immutable systems really enable us to create integrity protected systems. That's, in my eyes, not really possible with a mutable system. Of course, we want to protect against people tampering with our file systems while we are not at our machines, while at rest, prevent evil mate type of scenarios. We can achieve that by having read-only file systems, let that be /usr, which might be something that most of you have in your distros already, but also actually having a full read-only root file system, which is also possible. And then we can leverage kernel technologies like DMVerity to integrity protect our whole OS. But we're going to cover that in a little more detail later. And another nice benefit of having a read-only file system in some part of our system is that we minimize the actual writable space in our OS, which also, to me, means minimizing the space in the OS that's really easily exploitable. Because if you have an arbitrary file write to something and you can override some system binary, that's kind of painful. It also gives some great benefits regarding availability. If we have a AB booting scheme and we upgrade our kernel, and that kernel breaks our system somehow, we can, in such a scheme, always roll back to a previous generation, which should work as before. We can do rollbacks, but we can also pin down, if we have a transactional update system, we can pin down failures in our system to the specific package updates that introduce the breakage, right? So if some audio stuff breaks and we see, I upgraded Pulse Audio 2 weeks ago, that might be the culprit. I can, if I have a transactional scheme, I can roll that back as well, or should be able to. That's kind of it for immutable systems. There are more benefits to immutable systems, but these are the ones that we'll focus on here. Now to reproducible builds. And when I say reproducible builds in this talk, I mean bit by bit reproducibility, because that's actually important for stories like measured boot. You'll always want to have bit by bit reproducibility so that hashes actually match up in the end, and nothing like Docker reproducibility, where you should get a thing that works almost the same, but it might not be the same content. right? I think fundamentally, reproducible builds are better than having like stuff like build provenance, where you sign your build artifacts, because if you publish your source code and people can build that themselves and verify that the output is the same than the thing that you publish somewhere, I think that gives you everything that build provenance gives you, because you inherently also, if you have the source, you can verify it, right? Because if you have a signing scheme where someone signs their container images or whatever, you have to trust them to write, you have to trust their key, and then you have to also put trust in them to not sign malicious things, right? And what to do if the key gets compromised and they don't take notice, so can't really do anything there. And when you can publish source code and rebuild that, I think that's worth much more. And this especially shines in like measured boot schemes, having a verifiable system where we can leverage like technologies like TPMs and confidential computing technology to then verify in a running system that we actually booted the exact same thing. If you have a bit-by-bit reproducible thing, we can pre-calculate our own golden measurements for that thing that the TPM PCRs should have when we boot the image. And then when we boot the image, we can tell the TPM, hey, give me the PCRs, and verify that it's actually the exact same thing in the running system. I think that's a huge benefit of measured boot with reproducible builds in the kind of marriage, right? And there's also some unrelated benefits of OS images as a whole. If we have tailor-made, like purpose-built OS images for a very specific use case, these have no unnecessary contents. Like you would find a Fedora ISO maybe, there's like 80% of stuff you never need. So having a minimal like trusted closure means that, yeah, we have a minimal trust boundary of code that we would need to audit, say, if we do that. So before we come to how to build the actual OS images, let's talk a bit about how to handle them, because desktop users with kind of like pet machines in the pet versus kettle analogy, they always say like configuration is just easier, and that might especially for developer machines hold true. You can just download a Fedora ISO, configure, install, etc. So why would these use images? I can't really convince them, because in most cases, I think if you're like a developer user, having a non-image-based machine always makes like more sense if you can install packages as you go. But maybe for your grandma, like if you give your grandma a phone with Linux on it, you don't want her to manage her packages on her own, right? And especially on like kettle machines, like servers, I think images are always the better choice, because you have like easy distribution channels to get the images to the machine. Don't have to flash it on stick, walk up to the machine, stick it into there. But you can use like BMC or cloud provider image galleries to get the images there. And also for embedded devices, images are kind of like the standard thing, right? Where you build your Yocto thing and then flash it on the chip. You have not much storage. And I think purpose-built images definitely have their use cases with them. But now, like, the question is how to build them and how to do so reproducibly, specifically. One option is MKOSI. It's a systemd ecosystem project. It stands for Making OS Images. It's great. It's distro agnostic. Lets you build Fedora images, Arch images, Ubuntu images, SUSE images, whatnot. It has a great integration with the other parts of the systemd ecosystem, like Repart, UKify, Repart for packing the image, UKify for building UKIs. But it has some kind of critical reproducibility shortcomings to me, even though it does a really great effort to be as reproducible as possible. It's kind of hard to use it to build bit-by-bit reproducible images, because by default, what it does is it uses your host tool chains. So for example, if it wants to pack the image with Repart, it will try to find the Repart binary on your host. And then if you want to replicate a build artifact from another machine. That's not really possible if you have like one guy with systemd 250 and one with systemd 256. There's probably going to be some differences in how the image build with Repart turns out, right? There's this thing to handle that called tools tree, where you will build an intermediate image with MKOSI to source the tools from that distribution then. So if I want to build a Fedora image, I could first build an intermediate Fedora image to source the tools via DNF that I need to build the final image. But there is no concept of package manager log files in a unified way. So you can't just tell DNF to always get me this version of a package, because their mirrors don't even have all the versions of the packages. And so you can't really realize pinning without like hosting your own registry and keeping things locked to a specific version there and then letting MKOSI source the tools from there. There's a repository called Reproducible MKOSI by our company. There was a talk about it at FOSDEM last year, I think, where we source the tool chains via Nix for the tools tree for MCOSI, and then we can actually build bit by bit reproducible images with MKOSI, but only like for a certain set of distributions. Right now it's like Ubuntu and Fedora, and it's also kind of got superseded as Nix now has the functionality to do so as well. But you can check that out if you want to. So, considering another option to build OS images, NixOS in that case. I mean, who here hasn't heard of Nix before? Never? Okay, there's not a single hand. Like, probably all people have heard of Nix some way or the other until now. There's the Nix build system. And NixOS is the Linux distribution built on top of that build system. You would configure your OS in the Nix language, like consider that example on the right there, where you would install some very necessary packages for your system. You just specify that in that functional programming language, Nix language. Right, and then you can live switch into a configuration generation, because Nix is also has a transactional update scheme where you can roll back into older generations and you can like go back to any state before any update. It's kind of, you can consider that OS switching like a more powerful RPM OS tree to me, and rebooting afterwards. But the great thing about NixOS is that we can now also build OS images from any OS config. So if I have my own OS config for this machine here, I can do some things and then have a bootable image of this exact machine here that I can stuck in somewhere else and like boot that thing, right? That's possible because we had like recent integrations of systemd repart, Ukify, and especially dmVerity, which I think is a key part for immutable systems. But we are going to shed some more light on that in a minute. NixOS is an atomic distro. It has a transactional update scheme. And it's also a mutable distro, because in the important, the user is not allowed to like write into the thing called Nix store, where the actual software is stored and then linked into your operating system. So it's kind of hard to break things. And I think that's a kind of a good common ground for an OS to build immutable and like security focused images with. NixOS is great, or like Nix and NixOS are great for reproducibility, because they have hermetic builds. Your builds are very strictly sandboxed, and your builds only can get stuff that you specified very concisely as their inputs. But like, yeah, we now know what Nix is, how to actually build immutable systems with that now. So next thing we're going to talk about is like having a little general, very opinionated framework for how I think such images can or should look like. Don't fear that complexity of that diagram. We're going to explain it. And this really applies not only to NixOS, but I think to It's a general good scheme for building very simple immutable systems and by protecting the boot chain. And if we protect the boot chain, we can bootstrap trust into our system from there. Because if we can see that our machine has booted the correct things and has the correct files in the system, as we protect the root file system too, we can then later on verify the system and establish trust in it as a whole. So then if we have tested the system later on, we can then trust it to provide it with some keys from a KMS or something, right? To me, there are three core components here in such a system. That's for one, UKIs, which are, I'm sure you've heard of that throughout the last years a lot. They are that single measurable PE binary, which contains all your things important for your boot, kernel, initrd, kernel command line, and boot splash and whatnot. There's like 9 categories of in the UKI spec of things that can go into there, and then bootloaders like systemd boot will take care of can take care of booting this format, right? Exactly. Okay. Next component are TPMs and confidential computing, which are like kind of analogous here, because like we just need any technology which is trusted to us and allows us to do like runtime measurements, and both TPMs through PCRs do that, but also like newer confidential computing technology, like TDX, for example, has support for runtime measurements, and they pretty much all also have support for TPMs. We just need something that has runtime measurement registers and where we can measure stuff into, and the option to attest the system to verify it later on. And then, to me, the most important, like with UKIs and TPMs, we can also protect a fair bit of our boot chain. But to me, the core component of this is like DM Verity, because with DM Verity, we can protect our root file system as a whole, and or any file system really. It's a method for integrity protection of block volumes, and how it works is you compute a hash tree for a partition or a volume, and then you have a hash for each block in like a hash tree. So each block has a single hash in the tree, and they all map to a root node called the root hash. And that hash tree is then stored like in an auxiliary partition. And if you have the DM Verity device mapper module, the kernel can take care of mapping such a pair of partitions. And then upon each read of the data partition, the kernel will actually verify that the hash in the hash tree matches what block you read, right? So no one can actually go and switch up a block in the file system, because it will mess up it will have a not matching hash, and it will mess up the read. There's a root node in the tree, as I said, called the root hash, and because the root hash actually has the contents of each of the hashes under it in its identity, so it authenticates the data partition as a whole. If we know the root hash to match, we can this authenticates our whole partition, right? And how we can do that, how we can embed that into our system now, is by using some nice user-based glue technologies by systemd. For example, systemd Verity setup generator, but there are also other means like a Verity tab, which is like a table of Verity devices that should be mapped in the kernel, and then it's kind of analog to what fstop does, right? And systemd Verity setup generator is nice in the case that it can read things of the kernel command line called root hash and user hash specifically, and I think there are even more things that it recognizes nowadays. But the great thing is that it reads those things off the command line, and it then maps the correct devices only based on the hash, because in the discoverable partitions spec or discoverable disk images spec, it's systemd repart when building an image will actually put a root hash of a variety protected partitions into its GPT UUIDs so that other components can then like identify the right partitions only based off that UUID. Okay, what gives if we put that in the kernel command line now? For one, we definitely know that the device is going to be mapped correctly at boot, and then we can just mount dev mapper or whatever and have the correct file system in the initrd. And another really nice, or like the core benefit of this, putting it in the UKI actually is that we have the root hash that authenticates our whole root file system here in case we protect our root file system. This can also be /usr. Putting it into the kernel command line means putting it into the UKI, and putting something in the UKI actually always means that we have a putting it into a TPM PCR, because every UKI component actually will be measured here. And so if we have a change in the root hash, that would actually result in a mismatch in the PCR, so we can always notice if someone tampers with that, right? Exactly. So we kind of bind the identity of our root file system into the UKI, and thus also into our PCR measurements, which we can, as a user, later test the system for, so like get a quote of what the PCR values are. Okay, now onto the individual components of such images. For one, there's UKIs. There's an entry, like specifically in NixOS, because that's what we're going to talk about here. There's an entry abstraction in NixOS for UKIFI since beginning of this year, roughly. Its implementation was kind of trivial, I think. It was like a 100 or 120 lines change, because the build inputs needed for UKIFI, so that is initrd, kernel, kernel command line and whatnot, boot splash, all these things were exposed as build targets in the NixOS configuration anyway, because yeah, if you can live build your OS and boot into that, you need to also like build a kernel and build the initrd to later on put it in the ESP and boot from it, right? So for your OS to work, these targets were available anyways, and you just needed to connect the wires correctly to be able to plug that into UKIFI. It's for billing images, the use of UKIFI is quite simple. You can simply include a thing called a module, where you import something from the NixOS tree, and then you can just build the UKI target, and everything will just work because it will be connected to the exact same things that your OS would boot into otherwise, right? And interactive usage of this is a little bit harder. There's a project called Lanzabute, which is like secure boot for NixOS. There's a talk on it, I think, at like 3 p.m. or 2 p.m. or something today. And it uses something called thin UKIs, which is not really a term, but only a term in NixOS, for something that looks like a UKI, but doesn't contain a kernel and also doesn't contain initrd, I think. It's really just a command line and some auxiliary stuff, because in NixOS, we actually have if we would use a full UKI, we'd have a complete UKI for each generation, and anytime you make like a tiny config change, change your wallpaper or whatever, you'd actually get a complete UKI put into your ESP, and that would fill the ESP, which is quite small regularly, quite fast, right? So they have something, some deduplication mechanism there to not ship a full UKI on any boot. But Lanzabute also has support for FAT or normal UKIs, which are like the full UKIs that systemd stop and systemd boot also can work with. And as far as I know, as of now, there's like no usable thing to have UKIs only in NixOS right now, because Lanzabute always gives you this in conjunction with secure boot. So I think if some Nix folks are here, I think that would be something that would be nice to do, like have entry support for booting off UKIs and live systems. So next one is systemd repart. We have systemd repart as a repartitioning agent, like its core use in XOS for quite a while, since like February 2023. Image building with it got introduced a little bit later, because like systemd repart can be used as a thing that runs on boot and resizes your partitions, but also on a blank file to just create a bootable GPT disk image. This enables you to build like a GPT bootable image from any NixOS configuration, which was kind of like, it was kind of inflexible before, which we only had like a custom ISO assembler, and then it used Parter to like format your image into a really static configuration, and you couldn't, it didn't really allow you to do any more advanced stuff, and Repart gives you that flexibility to do like just anything you want. You specify your repart configuration in the Nix language, which is like a really elegant integration. Because, for example, consider the UKI. If you build a UKI build target, that will give you an output object of type path. It will link into the Nix store path where the build artifact will be available, and then the repart builder actually has an abstraction to like mapping a directory to a thing of type path. So for example, we can map slash in the ESP, we can map like slash EFI slash boot x64, which is like the default location UFI will look like for look at for a boot target. We can map that to the UKI by just like having string interpolation in that dictionary, and the Nix language allows us to do so by just like putting the build target of the UKI into the dictionary value of that path, and that will then be built automatically as well and included in the final image, right? That's something I think that's really great. Like you have also similar things in tools like Bazel, where you can reference outputs of build targets and have that included in another target automatically. So there's no really need of manually fitting the things together there. Like including the UKI and some like skeleton tree, and then including that into the image. Like Repart has a thing called copy files where you can just copy a tree into an image, but we don't even really need to use that here. So that's for the ESP. In the root partition, there will be like all other things basically. Binaries, pre-built configuration stuff, your wallpaper and whatnot. Man pages, auxiliary files, etc. And with the root partition in the NixOS system, there's a kind of a quirk for if you consider FHS systems otherwise. In a root partition of a NixOS system, there's actually only one path. There's only like slash nix slash store, and then content addressable or input addressable paths to all your things that are inside that. But there's only slash nix slash store. There's no slash bin. There's no slash etc by default. There's only slash nix slash store. And on the next slide, that will actually play an important role. But just remember it for now. And how that works is the initrd takes care of mounting and linking the correct stuff around at boot, or like at activation time, how NixOS calls it. So that's something that you need to work for, like enabling live switching into a configuration generation, because then only certain things need to be linked and mounted and so on. But it's also on first boot, like to be idempotent. Right. There are some niceties in Repart as well. For example, especially like for building mutable images, I think. For example, Repart gives you the option to add matching variety partitions automatically, and then Repart will actually take care of like building a discoverable disk image, like take care of putting that root hash into the partition UUID so that other user space software can then identify the partitions just by these UUIDs, right? And then if you have that, specify your Repart configuration, you just build like that build target system.build.image, like nix build system.build.image, and then yeah, get your disk image for your configuration. So if you just like have a laptop and want to build a disk image of your configuration, you can just do that now. But we are also going to cover DM Verity in NixOS. It's actually very, very, very recent. It's been merged in 3 this week. To be fair, you could use Report in NixOS. You could use DM Verity in NixOS for a little bit longer. It's just a more usable abstraction now for doing so. But to use DM Verity, you really only have to include like some kernel modules, and if you want to use the generators, you have to include those targets as well. But it's kind of locked behind a single knob right now, DM Verity enable, and then things just work. It consists of the kernel device mapper and the integrity kernel module, and like that user space glue I was talking about, like things that read your Verity tab and Verity setup generator, whatever you want to use there. Just need to be some channel to read the inputs of which partition to map and where to put it. Can be anything really. Can also write your own generator. There even is one NixOS for protecting only a Nix store, which obviously isn't in the upstream system, the Verity setup generator. Now back to the quirk we talked about in the last slide. There's kind of a problem with that only containing the Nix store thing. As DM Verity requires read-only volumes. That's something you always need to consider with DM Verity. If you need a read-write volume, you'd need to use DM Integrity, which is kind of slow because it does the integrity at file level and it also doesn't really give you the same security guarantees that DM Verity will give you. So DM Verity is kind of what you want to use, especially in immutable image-based systems. Problem with that now is that it has some incompatibilities with how NixOS sees its world, where it doesn't really like read-only volumes, because those things called activation scripts, which take care of that linking and mounting stuff from the, they are contained in image ID and then like are instructed to mount paths from the Nix store bind-mounted into other locations or link your /etc, for example, and because in the Nix image there's only /Nix/store contained, it wants to create /etc, for example, before mounting something from the Nix store there. It also writes some stubs, etc. There are fixes to this problem. We can easily fix it by integrity protecting only /Nix/store, for example, by using that in tree NixOS generator or out of tree NixOS generator, which only protects Nix store, and then it reads like a thing called store hash from your command line and takes care of mounting /Nix/store only. And especially in conjunction with a thing that comes in the 6.12 kernel, IPE LSM, which only allows you to execute binaries from a DM Verity protected volume on your whole system, I think in conjunction with that, it can be a great option, but it also has some like fallacies. So, for example, it doesn't really consider scripting or interpreted stuff where we don't have an executable binary directly. So we want an interpreter-less system in that case, actually. We can also fix it by using /usr hash from the Verity setup generator and then having our /Nix/store in /usr/Nix/store and then bind mounting that to /Nix/store at boot time so that everything else will work. But really the long-term fix, I think, is dropping the activation scripts in image builds and actually building static OS trees instead, which would, in my opinion, definitely be the way going forward, because in an image-based system that you don't want to live switch later on, you can really just build a static tree and then go from there. But that's currently not possible due to the limitations of the Nix sandbox. It would need to be loosened a little. So for now, I just circumvent these issues by overlay mounting a writable file system while these activation scripts run and remounting them read-only later on, so that we have like only during boot, we can write some stuff there and just let these scripts succeed, and then later on we should be fine. But generally, the upstream work has already started to drop these activation scripts for image builds, as they are generally considered like not good for image based systems, and those they should be dropped in those eventually. So yeah, that was it for the NixOS integrations. Thank you all for listening. I think to conclude, immutable and reproducible OS images are definitely worth it. If we have measured boot, we always, I think, if we build our OS ourselves, always want to have reproducible builds. It's better than build provenance in my eyes. And currently, to me, NixOS and Nix give you the best tools at hand to build such images, even if mCozy does quite an effort to do so. There's actually an accompanying repository for my talk where I implemented everything that I talk about here and like have a exemplary build target of an immutable NixOS system. You can boot that with QEMU. And I would have loved to talk about what to hack on regarding those systems, but time was a little tight here and would have blown up my presentation. So just feel free to contact me via the means there or chat to me at a conference if you want to talk about that. I'd love to. Thanks everyone for listening. Been happy to be here. We have 4 minutes for questions.
Hi. Do you know if NixOS support cross-architecture builds? I mean,
it does.
If I would like to build an image for a RISC-V board,
yeah, you can do so. I did that actually. I did that for like a little RISC-V SoC. There's a thing called packages cross where you can like reference a package set for another architecture and then build for that architecture. So that's possible.
Great talk. Quick question. So one thing I didn't understand, could you just step through the mechanics of an OS update a little bit? Like Nix by default does that beautiful thing, right, where the binaries are just a cache of the input, right? Is the client fetching the DM verity from a remote server? Like, or are you relying on the bit-for-bit reproducibility where the client basically is reassembling that DM verity image client side from like remote inputs? Do you know what I mean?
So you'd have to build some scaffolding around to use DM verity in a live system, because you'd have to build a whole image and put it into another partition and then boot from there, I think. Or like you have to do some juggling with the partitions to have your next root partition elsewhere or next store partition elsewhere and then use that. But like if you use the repart builder, you have the build result of your partition. And you build it locally, and you then also have like a local copy of the hash of that partition, because repart calculates it, right? Did that answer the question, or? Okay, yeah, let's talk about it later if you feel.
So 1 minute left. Any other question? Yes.
What if the root hash in the UKI doesn't match? What does DM verity do then?
Yeah, so it systemd, the generator wouldn't mount it because it wouldn't find a matching partition, and you wouldn't trust the system because your PCR values would have changed, right?
So does it fall back to like another immutable?
Does it fall back to a previous immutable?
I mean, you could build that, but I think if your root hash suddenly changed and it doesn't match, you wouldn't want to, right?
Understood. Thank you.
Okay,
that is all. Thank you again.